are the possession of the truth. I'm sure many, if not all of you, have heard the name of Marshall McLuhan. M-C capital L-U-H-A-N. The Canadian philosopher of the media. In my 5 years on a visiting professorship at the University of Ottawa, my confessor was an Abre priest who had received Marshall McLuhan into the church. And after I had gone to confession to the priest, before I left his room, he said, "By the way, would you mind reading this letter I just received from Marshall McLuhan?" Oh, I read the letter. I've never forgotten. The last sentence in that letter of Marshall McLuhan's, "The genius analyzing the modern media," was what he said. "The modern media are engaged in a Luciferian conspiracy against the truth." Let me repeat. "The modern media are engaged in a Luciferian conspiracy against the truth." Amen. Amen. I'm not familiar with your Los Angeles papers. I don't have to be. I know the Detroit Free Press, the Detroit News, the Washington Post, the Chicago Tribune, the New York Times, and your Los Angeles equivalent. I'm speaking to religious. Many information. I beg you, ask our Lord during this retreat on how best you can, on the one hand, use for God's greater glory, on the other hand, protect your minds from being deceived by that Luciferian conspiracy against the truth of our media. Second temptation. Following Saint Matthew, we are told, Matthew's fourth chapter, fifth to the seventh verses. "Then the devil took him into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. Said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will give his angels charge over you, and on their hand they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.' Jesus said to him, 'It is also written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God.'" What is the sin to which the devil was tempting Jesus here? It was the sin of presumption. How so? Satan told Jesus, took him to the peak of the temple, then said, "Throw yourself down. If you are what I hear you are, the angels will protect you. You won't be harmed." But Christ countered, again with a quotation from Scripture, and by the way, and again, from Deuteronomy. pardon me, Christ knew his scripture. Forty-four years in the priesthood have taught me a lot about the devil. He is a genius in adjusting himself to the personality and the character and the temperament of those whom he's tempting. With pious people, the devil takes on, dripping, incense-reeking piety. The devil was telling Jesus to act unwisely, called it imprudently, called it rashly. How so? Am I presuming that God would work a miracle without justifying cause? Is not a trivial statement. Does God work miracles? He does. And I witnessed some. I have. But God will work miracles only when there's a justifying cause. How do we sin by presumption? If there is one failing of religious, and I know religious well, men and women, it is they're presuming to live up to a humanly impossible life without corresponding dedication and commitment to a life of prayer. I'll never forget the letter that Martin Luther wrote to his sister, superior of the local monastery, you know, Augustinian monastery. Remember the name? Wittenberg. He wrote to his sister, I am so busy. He had all kinds of jobs, teaching scripture, if you please. He was burgomaster for the local town, also superior for his own community. I am so busy, I don't even have time to say my office. What an examination of conscience we should all make, and a retreat is the time to make it. Not only how much quantitatively am I spending in prayer, but how zealous, how devoted is my life of prayer. My body may be in prayerful posture, but my mind can be, you know where. The need we have, the desperate need to be men of prayer. and asked the Lord, as the disciple asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. When he gave us the Lord's Prayer, you've got to learn how to pray. Given the temperament, given the personality, given the work we're doing, given the involvement in our lives, so we do not sin by presumption. And presumption it is to think we can be faithful to our calling as religious, and from what I understand, you are not, am I correct, a strictly cloistered, am I correct, monastic community. By my dear friends, the cloistered Carmelites in Dallas, Texas, with a double grill, and you get the meals, you know, in a turnstile. As a, you know, in cloistered communities, put a meal on their side of the convent, and they turn the, I call it a turnstile, and you get your meal on the other side. I've taught too many priest religious, too many women religious, engaged in apostolic work, and the single most emphatic recommendation is a mild word, imperative. I tell them, in the name of God, be for you men of prayer. Did you know that for the first 1500 years of the church's history, there were no canonically and approved by the Holy See communities of women religious who are not contemplative? 1500 years. No wonder we've had the tragedy of 80,000 is just the absolute figure in the drop in women's vocations and other vocations. Drop in numbers, and vocations drop by 90%. 9 women entered convents last year, 3,100 in 1965. If we're going to work with others and give ourselves to them as we should, whole-mindedly and wholeheartedly, we must, no option here, we must be men of deep union with God, men of prayer. Third temptation. In recording the third temptation of Christ, St. Matthew is very detailed. Again, says Matthew, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdom of the world and the glory of them. And he said to him, all these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. And then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, the Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve. And the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Notice the logic of the temptation. The devil, save this for the last. Told Jesus to a high mountain, either actually or at least in imagination. Let me tell you, the most severe temptations are not outside of us, but inside of us. Oh, what a powerful medium for the devil to use, our own human imagination. The devil then showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. The world and worldly honor. If there is one thing that the holiest of us, those nearest to God and most blessed by His grace, if there is one thing we must all beware of, it is praise, honor, adulation by others. I have seen stars fall from heaven and the pillars of the firmament totter, to quote a poet. Great leaders collapse because they allow themselves to be seduced by the praise and honor which the world gives. Now the devil promised Jesus all of these on one condition, that Christ would adore Satan. You might say, how stupid of the devil. No. He's not stupid. He knows human nature. Fall down, he told Jesus, and worship me. Christ's answer was a command. In a word, that's enough. Be gone, Satan. For the third time, Jesus quotes from the scriptures. And the third time, following the devil, verse by verse, from Deuteronomy. Christ then defines what adoration means. And we better know what Christ means by adoration, because we are living in the most idolatrous century of human history. The Babylonians, Egyptians, and ancient Assyrians, with their gods, have nothing on us. Christ defines adoration. It is a recognition with the mind that there is only one God. Now this God is the creator of heaven and earth, except for whom nothing else would be. As far as we can define God, and we cannot, but as far as we can, God is the being who cannot not be. God is the being who must be. Everything else and everyone else need not be. We've even coined a polysyllabic name to describe ourselves. We are contingent beings. All right, we're contingent. What it really means, we're unnecessary beings. We don't have to be. Whenever I speak, I like to see empty chairs in the room. Human beings that God might have created. Oh, there's another chair. This could be empty too. This God alone may be worshipped by the mind. That's where adoration begins. Go back and reread John of the Cross. He has been, by his critic, called the mystic of nihilism. He had no illusions. But except for God, we would be what we were before we became what we are, which is exactly nothing. Even putting a zero on paper is too much. Nothing. How blind with self-adulation, self-admiration, and dare I say it, self-adoration, we can be. The very word choice now has become the symbol for those who, till God to mind his own divine business, am master of my own life, of my own thoughts, of my own body, and for a woman with child, master of the thing in my womb. The key word in Christ's response to the devil is the adverb only. In other words, only God may be given divine honors. And the world in which we are living is giving, believe me, divine honors to so many human beings. The constant temptation is to make idols of creatures. By using them, enjoying them, honoring them, contrary to the will of the one true God. But it's my body. I can do with it what I please. No, you can't. Sure, I can. Here goes. No, you can't. You fool. Some closing observations. Expect temptation. And, I repeat, for us priests and priests-to-be, expect temptations from the devil. How to meet the temptations, as St. Peter told the first Christians. His first letter, 5th chapter. And begins with the fifth verse. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to your elders. All of you, practice humility towards one another, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in the time of visitation. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be sober, be watchful, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, goes about seeking someone to devour. Resist him, strong in faith, knowing that the same suffering befalls your brethren all over the world. How to resist the devil? Humility and faith. Beg God to show you where you are failing in humility. There are people that are no match for the devil. He will always outwit them. And faith. Deep conviction that the more holy we strive to be, the more souls we want to win for Jesus Christ, the more we shall be tempted by the devil. But we cannot lose, provided we trust in God. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't